Wonderful. Well, hello everybody. My name is Francisco. I am a sensitive sex, love, validation, fantasy, and intrigue addict. And yeah, I guess let's get rocking. So I've been in the SLAW program now for about 7 months. Currently, I have a sobriety date of October 16th, 2025. So I'm coming up on 4 months of withdrawal. So 4 months off my bottom lines. Really, really hype about that. My story is, I'm sure, resonating with a lot of people, or resonant of a lot of people. I had a big situation that happened in my life where I did some things to a friend who I said I would never, ever do in my life. Just cross some lines in terms of being involved with somebody who was unavailable. That person being one of my best friend's girlfriends. And essentially, that was a big realization for me that I kind of needed to do something about my life. I had been living in a very wild and outrageous kind of way. I didn't care how my actions were perceived or interpreted. It was just all about me, you know? It was a lot of selfishness, a lot of self-centeredness. And, like, I was the only thing that mattered in the world. That's always been one of my biggest character defects, is my own ego, my own self-will, thinking that I know everything. And I've been really fortunate to be able to be working in another 12-step program during this time as well. I started the beverage program before I started SLAA, and that kind of helped shape the trajectory of my path here. But before that, man, I was a wreck. You know, I was a real wreck. I would seek attention and validation from anybody. It didn't matter who you were, guy, girl, if it was you were walking your dog, like, I wanted your dog to like me, you know, like, that's always been me. And I was always just like, that's just who I am, you know. I'm just a happy-go-lucky, flirtatious kind of guy. I grew up in a family who really relied on charm, really relied on the idea of being really, like, overly kind to people. Not the best models growing up. My dad had an affair on my mom when I was really young. They got a divorce. There was a lot of accusations of abuse and all sorts of other unsavory things that I don't like to mention too much. But, you know, they're part of my story, absolutely. And eventually they split, you know, and we had this whole model of, as a kid, of what I thought was supposed to be a healthy relationship with my dad. Being like a 40-year-old man, like, dating the 19-year-old from, like, the supermarket, you know, and just, like, really weird things like that. And then my mom being very, very promiscuous and not clear about the labels of who she was bringing around or what was going on. So, you know, my head as a kid was always in this, like, you know, you don't have to define relationships. You don't have to there's no level of, like, right or wrong in terms of who you should go after or what you should do. It was always just very, very skewed. And that kind of, like, set the playing field for a lot of my expectations in relationships growing up. I always tell people I'm, like, the biggest, like, I have, like, the biggest ego, but I'm also, like, one of the most insecure people you'll meet. I want people's validation. I want people to like me. I want people to think of me, and, like, I want people to think of me, you know. That's, like, where the whole idea of, like, fantasizing comes into my mind. Like, I want to, like, leave a situation feeling like, oh, that person was so interested, or that person, you know, like, they have that one stupid thing that's like, I want to be the hottest person in the supermarket every time I go shopping. Like, that's such an incredibly interesting way to think, and that's always been kind of, like, the mentality that I've carried with me. But this program has really, really taught me how to kind of show up for myself and show up to give myself that self-love and self, ability to kind of soothe self, you know, be able to sit with myself, no longer have to seek these kind of things from other people. Now, it hasn't been, like, perfect in any way, shape, or form. It's been an absolute process. But I'm really grateful to be working with a sponsor who really has this nailed down, who has really been patient with me, who's been very communicative with me. We talk every single day. We do voice notes. I like to do outreach with people and just kind of like in this instance, just be of service to any aspect that is asked. I have a meeting that I go to over in the Valley, Radford Hall, at 7:30 on Tuesdays. If anybody's ever in the Valley area, definitely check us out. But there I was able to take on one of my first commitments that I ever got here in SLAW. And I started as a literature guy, talked to a lot of people about, you know, the program, handed out pamphlets, read pamphlets with people, started just really showing up in a different way in another community. And that really, really helped me out. When it came to SLAW in particular, I would, like I mentioned before, I was in another 12-step program, and I stumbled into that meeting that I have a lot of service commitments at now. And it was a SLAW and AA meeting. So when I walked in, I thought it was just an AA meeting. Then they started talking about SLAW, and I was like, oh, fuck, this is me, you know? Like, reading those characteristics, you go like, man, this, they wrote this about me. And then I had somebody, like, mention the, like, what was it, like, 30-question questionnaire. And, like, I almost, like, scored perfectly on it because I'm a fucking overachiever. So, you know, great, great work in there and being able to, like, self-realize what was going on. And, so it's just been a real big journey and putting kind of like my ego to the side and practicing a lot of acceptance in that, you know, this is a program, something that I need. This is something that I can show up for, and it really does benefit me in my overall thinking. I try to go to at least 4 meetings a week when it comes to SLAW. Sometimes I do 3, but, you know, for me, that's perfectly fine. I also do a lot of other, meetings with my other program, so kind of try to balance it out. But it's been, you know, a real journey. I still learn. I'm not perfect in any way, shape, or form, but the biggest blessing that I feel like I've had has been this withdrawal process, you know, being able to abstain from the person who brought me into this program and not feeling like I have to worry about what they're doing or what they're thinking about. I love that this meeting focuses on the idea of like fantasy too, because I do a lot of like internal fantasizing when it comes to myself. You know, I meet somebody at a coffee shop and we hit it off and we have a good conversation, and all of a sudden you start thinking like, oh man, this person might be the one, you know, but in reality you've talked to them for like 10 minutes of your life. Or you start frequenting places and you become friendly with people, and all of a sudden you're like, whoa, is there something there? But I was reading in the SLAW book not too long ago that, like, another idea of fantasizing is, like, putting, like, interpreting the thoughts of other people in your own head without even knowing, like, those are their thoughts, you know? So, like, oh, this person absolutely likes me. This person absolutely is, like, head over heels about me. Oh, look how flirtatious they're being, you know? Like, that's also another concept of fantasy that I feel is something that, like, permeates my life still. I currently go to school, over here in, LA. I don't know if everybody's from the LA area, but I go to school. I live in Westwood. I'm surrounded by a community of like a lot of younger students and have a lot of people in my classroom who kind of like gravitate towards myself. I'm very outgoing. I'm very, leader oriented. I like to get groups together to study. So I, right now, some of my bottom lines are like no dating, no one-on-one, solo like dates with people who I find interesting, or like meetings that I find really, really interesting. And it's kind of a tough gray line when it comes to studying, you know, like, hey, let's get together and study for this exam. Like, sure. And then that kind of turns into this whole like back and forth talking about deep conversation and like, how did you grow up? Tell me about your upbringings. Tell me about your values and beliefs, and just having this like weird connection. And I'm coming up towards the tail end of my withdrawal process. Currently working a 5th step with my sponsor in this program. And after that comes the ability to be able to sober date, which I'm excited about, but I'm also terrified about. The last relationship that I had left, we had left things kind of like in this gray area of, you know, let's work on ourselves right now and potentially revisit this down the line. And I had my qualifier actually text me about a month ago, while I was still in withdrawal. And I had to, I was able to stop, pause, reassess, and come up with a text message with my sponsor. Thank you. I was able to come up with a text message of my sponsor and send it out in a way that kind of established boundaries for myself. And that felt really good. It felt like I was empowering myself. It felt like I was taking back that control over my life that, this disease or this, yeah, this disease has kind of like permeated over my whole life, I've always just been such a sucker and such a slave to this thing. My sex and love addiction has always been just at the forefront of everything that I did. And yeah, this withdrawal process has been just really teaching, and I say it's really exciting because I'm excited to kind of get out there and, not have to shelter myself from relationships or people, but I'm also scared because, this person that I may have to reach out to, or putting yourself out in vulnerable situations again, can be scary, and I feel like withdrawal is kind of like a safety home that you like sit in and you kind of rebuild in. And as soon as you step out of the house, you're kind of like vulnerable to like anything that could happen. But eventually you have to step out, but that doesn't mean the house is gone. Like the house is still there, you can still come into it. And yeah, it's just been a real, real process in how this program really works. It really has given me my life back. It's given me my focus back. It's given me my attention back. It's given me relationships with people. That friend who I did that thing towards with his girlfriend, I thought that this person would never want to talk to me again. And about a week ago, he had texted me, like just like checking up on me, and it was this incredibly surreal thing. Like I mentioned, like he's definitely on my inventory list. He's definitely a person that I'm gonna make amends to. And in my other program, that's where I am in the process right now. So it was literally the week that we sat down to make our list of amends and write them out. This person texted me, and that's legitimately what I take as like signs from my higher power. That's another good thing that I'd love to, just kind of like end on, I guess, in a way, is like the relationship that this program and both just recovery has given me in general with my higher power has just been, exactly what I needed. I mentioned in the beginning that it was just always about me. It was about what I knew best. I thought that all of my actions were always justified because Francisco is the one who knows how to do everything and he always gets through things. But in reality, like when I was able to turn it over and turn it over to God, it became such a like release, It's like that weight on your shoulders is just gone. You're able to go into situations and just practice acceptance, practice surrender. Practice the idea that I can't control everything, and that's okay. Because when I do try to control things, you end up sleeping with your best friend's girlfriend. You end up in these weird rooms with people who you may not like very much, but you're there for whatever reasons you're trying to validate yourself, And you're kind of like left with this big hole in your heart of like trying to fill it with all these people's approvals or all these people's ideas of like what they may think of you versus just being happy with who you are and what you are here in this world given by your higher power, So this program has really opened up my eyes to that emotional aspect that my other program wasn't able to fulfill. I've been really lucky to be able to stop drinking and doing drugs for almost 8 months now. And this program has really helped with the emotional side of things. It's really helped kind of get my life back on track with that confidence in myself, that connection with my higher power, the ability to think outside of self and seeking these approvals from other people, using people, big time manipulator and user of people. I would use people to kind of fulfill my own fantasy and expectations of myself, and all these weird situations that I used to put myself in, man. I'm glad that I don't go into the shares of that because it's really just some incredibly horrible situations you can think of. But with that, I'd just like to end that this program does give you your life back. If you work the program, you work the steps, you're gonna get just as much out of it as you put into it. So thank you all for listening today, and I appreciate y'all very much.